Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This episode of Politics Without the Boring Bits is sponsored by BT, because BT means business. BT knows that businesses come in many shapes, sizes, and guises, from the person just starting out at their kitchen table to the biggest employer, which is why no matter what line of work you're in, they've got your back to help you succeed and do what you do best. No doubt connectivity is a must in Westminster, and it certainly helped us to get this episode created and distributed to you listening right now. BT already connects more than 1 million businesses and public sector organisations, offering secure and reliable connectivity. Nearly three quarters of people running a business or side hustle feel they couldn't do so without reliable broadband and mobile connectivity. That's why having connectivity you can count on is a must for business, whether it be facilitating multiple devices being connected at once, or making team calls or guest Wi-Fi access for customers. BT's connectivity helps keep you and your customers happy. Whatever your business, BT's got your back. Search BT's got your back.
It's still enough to find the best possible solution. Please do not waste this time.
Hello and welcome to the Red Box Politics podcast from The Times. I'm Matt Chorley in Brussels on day four of our special series of podcasts trying to explain what is happening in British politics this week. Here in Brussels, EU leaders have agreed to an extension to Article 50, so Britain will not be leaving the EU without a deal this Friday. The extension is now for the end of October. It's longer than Theresa May wanted. It's shorter than the EU wanted. During this episode, I'm going to try to explain what happens at these EU summits. There are still lots of questions. Will we really leave at the end of October? Is there a chance we can leave before that? And most importantly, why on earth do they do these summits in the middle of the night? This is the slightly strange story of how a Brussels summit works. Okay, so it's just gone 5 o'clock Brussels time. Theresa May's just arrived, nice and sunny for her arrival here in Brussels. This is what she had to say.
Well, first of all, obviously I'm here with fellow leaders to try to put in for a short extension to Article 50. And I know many people will be frustrated that the summit is taking place at all, because the UK should have left the EU by now. And I greatly regret the fact that Parliament has not been able to pass a deal that would enable us to leave in a smooth and orderly way. But I and the government continue to work to find a way forward. We've been talking with the opposition. Those have been serious, constructive talks. They will continue tomorrow. The purpose of this summit is to agree an extension which gives us more time to agree a deal to enable us to leave the EU in that smooth and orderly way. And what matters, I think, is that I've asked for an extension to the 30th of June, but what is important is that any extension enables us to leave at the point at which we ratify the withdrawal agreement, so we could leave on the 22nd of May and start to build our brighter future.
So off Theresa May goes into the building and she awaits all the other EU leaders before she can set out her stall. Let's head over though and have a look at the building where it's all going to go on. Well, welcome to the Egg Building, the Europa Building as it's officially known. I'm right next to the red carpet where EU leaders come in, and there's the row of flags. I can see the Union Jack right next to the EU flag in the middle. How much longer is that going to be there? That's anyone's guess, frankly. This is known as the Egg Building because on the outside it's a big square affair. It looks like it's got lots of scaffolding outside, but I think that's what we call art. And inside there's an enormous glass egg. And right at the heart of that is the round meeting room where EU leaders meet for the European Council. And unusually for these things, normally when big political decisions are being made, there are lots of officials in the room, diplomats and Sherpas, providing advice, guidance, background notes, that sort of thing. On these occasions, meetings of the European Council, it's all down to just the EU28 leaders, chaired by Donald Tusk, and they fight it out amongst themselves. Now, so just come down around past the egg, and let's go and try and find where the journalists are based. So I have to hop into a lift to take us up.
Second floor,
Lucien. So it's now 7:30 here in Brussels. The summit well and truly underway. Dinner about to start fairly shortly. All journalists can do is hang around outside and wait for news, of which there isn't a huge amount, it has to be said. So what do journalists do when there's no news? They stand around and talk. So let's speak to a couple of journalists from other European countries to find out exactly what they think about us and about Brexit. So I've just caught up with Paddy Smith, the Europe editor of the Irish Times. Are you enjoying Brexit?
No.
That'll do.
I could say categorically that the Irish are as obsessed, if not more obsessed, with Brexit than the British, and considerably more exasperated than the British. My news desk is interested in no other stories, and I'm dreading an extension.
I mean, everybody in this building, whether it's journalists or officials or politicians, they all at least thought that there was the thing about March the 29th was that it was a deadline, and we were counting down to those days, and now we seem to be counting back up the other side.
Yeah, they're even talking about a one-year anniversary of the deadline to leave. March 29th is perhaps the date on which the British will leave again. And I have a colleague who suggested to me that we may be back here every year for a sort of formal agreement on the Brexit, the British extension.
It'll be one of those things that in years, centuries to come, people won't be able to remember how it started, but every year we meet and we agree the extension.
That's, I fear, what might happen.
And what's it been like? Because obviously, presumably, the Europe editor of the Irish Times, the whole point of being a Brussels, you cover everything that the EU is doing and maybe other things which are happening in Europe.
That would be nice, but the reality is that my time is taken up so much with Brexit. With every twist and turn of Brexit, it's been very difficult. And I suppose I returned here about a year and a half ago. The difference between this stint and my stint back in the 90s when I was here was that I could actually then write about a whole range of things.
Everybody hates this question about what's going to happen, but where do you think we're heading? Or do you just think nobody knows? And it, you know, an extension just means putting off the unknowable.
My suspicion is that no agreement is possible between Labour and Mrs. May, that there is no majority in the Commons for any particular solution after that, and therefore that Brexit machine will just roll on and on. She will try again and again to get her withdrawal agreement through and not succeed. She's been given a bit of leeway by the European Union today. European Union is very determined to make it clear that it's not the Union which is throwing the Brits out, it's the Brits who are engaged in this process. And so anything that can be done to make that absolutely clear, that this is entirely of British making, that will be done.
And how is Britain viewed, both in Brussels and in Ireland? Are we just a bloody nuisance, or is there any sympathy for the position we're in?
I don't think the sympathy for the position that Britain finds itself in, but I do think, and I think this is very seriously misunderstood in Britain, that there is an enormous affection for Britain in Brussels and in Ireland too, and throughout Europe. I went to a showing of a film about Winston Churchill in a Brussels cinema a while back. And I was astonished when, at the end of the cinema, with a Brussels audience, there was a standing ovation.
Wow.
And you don't get standing ovations in the cinema very often. And it was clearly not about Churchill himself, but about an affection for Britain.
Paddy Smith, thanks very much. I'll let you get back to work. Okay, so I've now got Christian Spielman from AFP with me. Christian, how long have you been covering this circus from Brussels?
18 years.
Are you sick of Brexit?
No. It's very interesting. The first time we have a big member trying to say, I'm not very well in the union today and I want to quit. And he cannot quit. So it's very interesting. The blockage that we have, it's very interesting to analyze, to see how weak our member states are in front of a solution they don't want. They don't want an exit. They don't want a no deal. They want absolutely to keep UK in the European Union. So it's fascinating.
And do you think that's what's going on, that this is a process of being difficult so that we never leave?
I believe you'll never leave.
You don't think we'll ever leave?
No.
That way we're going to have to keep coming back again and again, yeah, keeping up the pretense that we're leaving.
Yeah, and we will have many, many people like Nigel Farage doing the show in the European Parliament because it's the only things he likes to do. And he's absolutely not positive. He's absolutely not constructive. And that's the European Union's with the good things and the bad things. And that's the way we live since the beginning.
And how's Britain being viewed in France when you're covering Brexit for a French audience? Are we just a nuisance and you want to see the back of us? Or what is the French view of Britain at the moment?
Complicated. You are complicated people. Yes, no, but you have rules. You have a system. We discover the way you understand democracy, and it's very, very interesting. You need to go to the House of Commons all the time, and frankly, you are the only one, the only country who put in its own legislation all the European laws. It's not the case of France, for example. So sometimes it's annoying, sometimes we don't understand. But at the end, you must remain in this union, and that's, I believe.
And what about Emmanuel Macron? Because he's sometimes an ally and not an ally, and is he being difficult, and is a lot of what he says actually aimed at a domestic audience to try and stop people in France wanting to leave the EU? What's he up to?
In a certain way, he's like Theresa May. He's blocked, and he has a lot of difficulties. I believe what he wants is to get the support for his ideas, his plans, and I believe he's the only one today to know exactly what he wants. And he's annoyed to don't get the support to do what he wants.
And what happens if Boris Johnson becomes Prime Minister?
More problems, more difficulties.
Right, it's 9:30, Brussels time. Dinner started a bit late, but it's been going on for a while now. The trouble with 27 EU leaders all meeting is they all feel the need to speak, which can go on for some time. So I think it's probably time to go in search of Moel Fried, which some people might say is the only reason I've really come to Brussels. That would be not wholly inaccurate. So, dinner time. The bad news is, it turns out, according to the man in the restaurant anyway, that mulls are out of season, apparently. Steak and chips aren't. I suppose it's back to the media room to wait a bit longer. OK, Jackie Davis, you've covered Brussels for a long time. I won't call you a veteran, because that's impolite. Do you feel like this is coming to an end, or is this just another staging post in a never-ending circus?
No, it does feel like that we are coming to an end of a chapter. I think what nobody expected was it to be quite so drawn out, quite so painful. That is in the tradition, of course, of EU summits. They like to make things very difficult. It goes to the wire. Everyone's always said that. But there is a different feel to this, because it's the first time they're saying goodbye to a member of the club, and no one really quite knows how to play that. So there are those who are beginning to say, oh, go, will you? How long is this going to take? And there are others who are really desperately hoping the UK will change its mind. So there's a very strange mood about the place.
And also, the thing that struck me when I arrived was in the big press room, lots of banks of desks of journalists working on laptops, and the Brits have been put in a sort of corner.
No, to be fair, that's where they put themselves.
Oh, is it?
Yes, nobody allocates a seat. It's a bit like German towels on the beaches.
We've taken
whoever gets there first puts their names on, puts sticky tape there, and it's theirs. We used to sit in the middle of the hut.
But I've been before we've sat over
but
here.
But I think my instinct, I'm not sure who did the seating this time, but the last couple of summits, either we were late to the party, or there has been this feeling of, we don't quite belong, so should we just sit in the corner quietly?
Sort of sitting behind glass, yeah. Like sort of in quarantine.
Well, we're just getting used to how things are going to be in the future, isn't it?
If only you're arranging the seating arrangements was as straightforward as the process of leaving the EU. And so, for people who haven't been to these summits before, why is it that they always go on so late at night, having allowed everyone to turn up and say what we know they're going to say? So at the moment, behind us on the screens, we've got people still arriving, walking up the red carpet, doing their piece to camera. We know what everyone thinks about all of this. Why does it go on for hours and hours and hours?
Well, we do know what they think, but on the other hand, they haven't said it to each other. So Donald Tusk, who chairs this, has been going round every capital, talking to them. He knows what they all think, but they haven't had the conversation with each other, and indeed, they haven't had the conversation, some of them, with Theresa May. And so they do all feel that once they're here, they've got to say it again. That takes time, and genuinely, I think on an occasion like this, this is really difficult. This isn't something that could be pre-cooked by the diplomats who base themselves themselves in Brussels and sort these things out. That's the easy summit. This is really tough. This can only be done at the highest political level. And they're not used to negotiating detail, so that takes a lot longer than it should do, really.
And it's one of those things that, although there are buildings and buildings and buildings in Brussels are full of officials and Sherpas and diplomats or whatever you call them, but actually, when it comes down to it, it's 28 people, still 28, and Donald Tusk sitting in a room around a big round table, and there's no one else in there.
Exactly.
And they're supposed to be just sorting out themselves.
Exactly. And the key to that is they've got to go home, and whatever they decide to do tonight, they have to sell it to their publics back home. They understand Theresa May's predicament to an extent because they are all heads of state and government. They all have that difficult domestic task. So if they get it wrong, I mean, we've seen, for example, with the French, Emmanuel Macron is playing bad cop. That's gone down very well with some sections of French public, but other people saying, hang on a minute, you're just using this, you're using the UK in order to boost your domestic standing, and that could be really bad for our economy. So whatever happens tonight, they've got to be able to go back and say, we have done the very best we could to minimise the damage and to make this work.
Okay, so it's now midnight Brussels time. That's 11 o'clock UK time. So the dinner have been going on for about 4 hours now. We think everyone has now spoken. Emmanuel Macron, still the strongest, possibly only voice, pushing for a very short extension. More than a dozen other leaders said to be happy with a longer extension. Everyone has spoken once, and now everyone gets to respond to everyone else who's spoken. So it could be some time yet. The bar is pretty busy, I can report. The bar's run out of red wine, I'm told. And there are just lots of people standing around looking at their phones, and we keep hearing things like, this is what the Italians are saying, this is what the Belgians are saying. Lots of it contradictory. There's talk that the extension might only be 6 months. Others assuming it'll be until the end of the year. And lots of people wondering why it's taking them so long to agree something which should be essentially fairly simple, just a matter of a few months. There's an awful lot of theatre and dramatics going on. While the dinner's been going on here, Theresa May has been elsewhere, at Tim Barrow's residence, where she has been having dinner with her team. We're told she had green asparagus with a crispy egg, whatever that might be, roast fillet of lamb with mint sauce and seasonal vegetables, treacle tart and yoghurt ice cream available for pudding, but the PM had fruit as usual. So it's midnight, and all we know is what Theresa May had for tea. All right, so it's now 25 past 12, and everyone's talking about Halloween. There seems to be some suggestion that the extension could last until October 31st, which will be perfect headlines for Theresa May, a horror show, that sort of thing. Although other people are now pointing out that All Saints Day is a bank holiday in much of Europe, making it unlikely that that's the day that they would allow Britain to crash out of the EU with no deal, because, bluntly, there'd be no civil servants here or in lots of other European countries to prepare for the turmoil that lots of people expect in the event of no deal. Photographers are mustering, heading into lifts towards where the leaders might start to emerge. So maybe it's not going to be quite as late as we feared. What a way to run a country, or several countries. Everywhere you go, there are people muttering the word Halloween. We await news. Theresa May is apparently on her way back from the residence where she's been all evening, and it's being assumed that if she's coming back, then she's happy, or at least not unhappy, and will accept whatever the date is that they've agreed. If the date is October 31st, then some will argue that's a win for Emmanuel Macron, because he was the most hardline voice pushing for a shorter extension in the end of the year. But we'll just have to wait and see. Hold on to your Halloween headlines just for a moment.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Rising sea levels, extreme weather patterns, extinctions of species. Our planet needs protecting. I'm Adam Vaughan, the environment editor for The Times, and this is Planet Hope from The Times, in partnership with Rolex and its Perpetual Planet Initiative. In this podcast, we hear from leading experts from around the world who are committed to finding solutions. These explorers, scientists, entrepreneurs, and citizens are committed to a common goal: to protect our home, Earth. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Bruno, should we have a quick chat?
Oh, should we get a coffee?
Let's get a coffee. Let's update. It is now 20 to 2 Brussels time. We thought we were hurtling towards a breakthrough. Is there a breakthrough?
I think there is a breakthrough, but Theresa May is showing a little bit of spine in that she seems to be quibbling over the detail, which we haven't seen yet.
Well, we haven't seen her spine, and we haven't seen the detail.
All we know is that there is now a new Brexit cut-off date, which is presumably as reliable as the 12th of April, which is the 31st of October, which, of course, everyone knows is Halloween Day.
And it's the new March 29th. But something about June. What's happening in June?
Well, in June, they're meeting anyway on the 21st of that month, and they'll talk about how it's all going and whether trees... Bonjour, c'est bon, oui, c'est le matin. Puis-je avoir du café? So this is where everyone gathers.
It's notable, not that long ago, this was a large queue of people queuing for wine and beer, and now it's people queuing for cake and coffee.
Yes, well, the Swedish had the EU presidency at one point, and they made the press bar stop serving alcohol after a certain time, because once upon a time in the real good old days when Blair closed a deal on the EU 7-year budget in 2005, you could come here and have a nice left strong Belgian beer at 4:30 in the morning, but not anymore.
Now
it's coffee.
No, it's just coffee. So they're not serving anymore. We couldn't have a beer,
if we asked for a beer.
Working, Bruno.
Exactly.
We saw others having one. While we're waiting, one question that normal people might be asking is, why are they doing this at 2 o'clock? Oh, we need to pay. We do need to settle our bill with the EU. Why are they doing this coming on for 2 o'clock in the morning? Why don't they do it over lunch instead of dinner? Why is it always the same?
Well, sometimes they have something to do, have lunches. usually after dinners.
I was going to say,
meals are very important.
I remember the David Cameron one where he did his renegotiation. They had a dinner and they were going to come back for breakfast, and then that became a brunch, and then that became a lunch. And then it became a dinner.
An English breakfast,
that's right.
And it overran. And anyway, they had a problem because Donald Tusk, who's a fan of English breakfasts and an Anglophile, he wanted to serve bacon and egg, but fried eggs aren't really done on the continent, so he wanted to do scrambled eggs. But because of the catering facilities they have under EU regulations on the handling of raw eggs, they couldn't do scrambled egg. So even if it had been done in time, they would not have been able to do a proper full English. And Tusk was very upset about it.
An organisation that can't scramble an egg. Maybe we're better off out of it. Anyway, what are we sort of waiting for? What is the process now? What's been going on in the room? And why do we know what they've agreed, and yet we don't know when they're going to actually tell us?
Actually, compared to the summit on the 21st of March, where we knew a lot about what was going on in the room, we haven't known what has been going on in the room in terms of dates until basically it had been agreed. So Theresa May wasn't there at the dinner. They had a fish supper because Downing Street were upset last time, because she was sitting in a delegation room, which isn't nice. It's an office, really, watching telly, being updated on Twitter by people like me and others about what was really going on.
That really is what happens, is that if she's not in the room, she knows as much as you do as to what's going on. It's leaks.
I think there are back channels. I think there are some leaders who keep it updated by text. And I think, you know, Donald Tusk makes sure there's a running commentary. And at the end of the day, she has to agree to this too.
Now, that's the issue, isn't it? And it was slightly odd. Donald Tusk tweeted saying the EU27 have agreed an extension, and now we just need Prime Minister Theresa May to come in and agree to what we've decided.
The way they put it here is EU27 plus one. So Theresa May, if she wanted to, can come back here and say no. And then it's, you know, either no deal on the 12th on Friday, which lots of people certainly don't want, because no one's prepared for it, because no one thought it was going to happen, or they keep everyone here, you know, into tomorrow. A lot of leaders, I think about 16 of leaders here, have to be in Croatia for some sort of Chinese investment summit of some sort, which is quite important to a lot of countries. So they want to get, you know, they want to get away. So she's doing a bit of quibbling. About time too, perhaps.
It's been a little bit late in the day for Theresa May to start having strong views on Brexit. While we're still watching down the clock, what does this all mean then? We definitely take part in EU elections. That seems pretty likely. MEPs are back. They get elected at the end of May. They get sworn in beginning of July. And then they're MEPs for 3 months over the summer before getting booted out at the end of October.
They're MEPs long enough not to take any important decisions, because the first important decisions that they would be likely to take would be the end of October in terms of choosing the new European Commission and its successor to Jean-Claude Juncker. It might well be that that's kicked back anyway, because the European elections are going to be pretty chaotic. Well, could introduce an element of chaos into EU decision making, because, you know, perhaps Marine Le Pen will get more seats than Macron. So a lot of Macron's posturing today is not really kicking Brexit Britain. It's actually kicking Marine Le Pen, because Brexit is a proxy for her. So MEPs could be elected, but the election's going to be fun, isn't it? And then they will meet in all due pomp, with Ode to Joy in the background and the Euro Corps raising the European flag outside the Parliament in Strasbourg. They'll trouser a few per diems, they'll clock up 3 months of salaries, and then, yeah, they'll be off before they take any important decisions.
There's just about time to have a second referendum. The people's vote, people's getting excited tonight on Twitter that it might be time, just about time to have a second referendum before the end of October. I mean, overlooking the small problem that there still isn't a majority for it in the House of Commons.
Yeah, so you've got just about 6 months to organise one. But yes, like you say, you've got to get, you know, three readings of an Act of Parliament through. And as we know, that's quite difficult when it's Brexit related.
Excellent.
The withdrawal agreement was controversial enough. Can you imagine how controversial the second referendum is going to be?
So it's now 2:15 in the morning, and just waiting for Donald Tusk and Jean-Claude Juncker to come and give a press conference to give the first account of what's been agreed.
Tonight, the European Council decided to grant the United Kingdom a flexible extension of the Article 50 period until the 31st of October. This means an additional 6 months for the UK. During this time, the course of action will be entirely in the UK's hands. This extension is as flexible as I expected, and a little bit shorter than I expected, but it's still enough to find the best possible solution. Please do not waste this time.
The end date has been fixed on the 31 of October. I have to leave my job on the 1st of November this year, so my guess would be that we will have another night session, because if we had, I have to leave the meeting at midnight.
Thank you. This concludes the press conference. Good night.
What about good night? Good morning. So that's Donald Tusk, Jean-Claude Juncker, both of them signing off with a joke at Parliament's expense, saying that it might be tricky getting everyone to agree in Brussels, but it's easier to do that than getting everyone to agree in Westminster. So now the journalists are all piling out, and we go in search of Theresa May and her press conference. I imagine fewer jokes.
I agreed an extension to the Brexit process to the end of October at the latest. I continue to believe we need to leave the EU with a deal as soon as possible. And vitally, the EU have agreed that the extension can be terminated when the withdrawal agreement has been ratified, which was my key request of my fellow leaders. For example, this means that if we're able to pass a deal in the first 3 weeks of May, we will not have to take part in European elections and will officially leave the EU on Saturday, the 1st of June. During the course of the extension, the European Council is clear that the UK will continue to hold full membership rights as well as its obligations. As I said in the room tonight, there is only a single tier of EU membership with no conditionality attached beyond existing treaty obligations. Let me conclude by saying this. I know that there is huge frustration from many people that I had to request this extension. The UK should have left the EU by now, and I sincerely regret the fact that I have not yet been able to persuade Parliament to approve a deal which would allow the UK to leave in a smooth and orderly way.
So she goes, Theresa May leaving in a hail of camera shutters rattling off, but is the picture any clearer? She was asked repeatedly if she could guarantee if Brexit would happen. She was asked to apologise to the country for saying we'd leave on March the 29th, and then April the 12th, and then May the 22nd, and now the end of October. She winced a bit at the suggestion we were heading for a trick-or-treat Halloween Brexit. And then she heads back to London, and she'll have to explain herself to the House of Commons. She knows she faces some really seriously difficult questions. It's not totally clear she's got any answers. So, Ollie Wright, we've just come out of the Theresa May press conference / briefing. It's 3 a.m.
Goodness.
Brussels time.
Feels like it.
And what do we know? What have we learnt? Where are we? October? Possibly June?
We're October. I mean, there's two different messages coming out. Theresa May says it's October at the latest. But Donald Tusk seems to think that actually the extension could be longer than that if we wanted. So I don't think a huge amount has been resolved, except for the fact that we know that we could be in the EU at least for another 6 months.
The problem seems to be that that's not really long enough to do anything different.
No.
But it's long enough to not have any urgency to do anything.
Yeah. And I mean, the question she didn't answer at any stage is, what does she do if the talks with Labour break down? What's the plan B? I mean, it doesn't look like those talks are going anywhere in particular. So what does she do then? I mean, it's probably not enough time to organise a second referendum.
Only got crushed in a lift door then.
Not enough time to organise a second referendum, even if she wanted to.
Hang on, I need to press the button in the lift. Going down in every sense. No, the door's open again. Come in. Other people can come into the lift. Joined by Jack Blanchard, who apparently writes a morning email, but you don't need to know anything about that. And Tim Ross and Bloomberg. Are we all having fun, chaps?
This is so much fun. We live for this, don't we, Matt? We all live for this.
We were just discussing that this job used to be fun.
3 o'clock in the morning. You've just seen a press conference with Theresa May. What could be more fun than that, Matt?
I think that my problem is that after Theresa May's press conference, I've got so much adrenaline rushing through my veins, I'm not going to be able to sleep for hours.
You've got 6 months to work on your Halloween jokes, though.
Yeah, I'm already a bit tired of those.
We're exhausted. I've
written about half a dozen of myself.
They're better than the black hole jokes, anyway.
That's small mercies. Small mercies. The Halloween jokes have buried the black hole ones. So we go back to London tomorrow.
Yep.
Recess is saved.
Recess is saved, yeah. And she goes back, she stays overnight, goes back to House of Commons to make a statement and to face her backbenchers, who I imagine will be less pleased with the European Union with her. It's going to be a rocky time, and perhaps the best thing for her is that everyone packs up and goes away for Easter.
And doesn't plot too much about bringing her down.
I think they'll plot over Easter. Can't see Marc Francois lying on the beach somewhere, can you?
I'm not sure I want to imagine Marc Francois lying on a beach. Well, on that terrifying thought, thank you for listening. I'm not sure he's made any sense at all. I'm not sure if you're any the wiser as to how a EU summit works. But it is 3:05 in Brussels. We are not leaving the EU on Friday. We're not leaving the EU on June the 30th, as Theresa May wanted. We might leave the EU on Halloween. We might leave before that. We might leave after it. Will we ever leave? That's the question. A question that we will no doubt pose again in future weeks. If you want a break from all this Brexit nonsense, download the podcast tomorrow on Friday when I've been speaking to Ian Hislop, editor of Private Eye and team captain on Have I Got News For You. Subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss any episodes on iTunes, Acast, Spotify, or wherever you get them from, and sign up to my morning email, which I've got to write in a couple of hours' time. You can sign up to that at thetimes.co.uk/redbox. My thanks to everyone and no one who I've spoken to in Brussels. For now, from me, Matt Chorley, it's good night, good morning, goodbye.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.